First Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead, or the living and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity, or love, shall cover the multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This morning I want us to look at verse 7 through verse 11. And I want to point out four different points of exhortation here that we have. Now, I said that I was going to preach Brother Tom's message again, and that's pretty much true. What I just read pretty much lines right up with what he taught us this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. That tells us that what we've been looking for, since the Lord has saved us, is coming soon. And it's not really what we've been looking for, but who we've been looking for. It has never in all of your life, or in all of time, been as close to happening as it is right now. We're closer than anybody has ever been to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The end of all things is at hand. So, or because of that, he's going to give us four things to be aware of and to do. Number one, he says, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Be ye therefore sober. Now, yes, this definitely would have to do with alcohol and drugs and anything that's intoxicating like that to that point. But it goes much further than that, to our lives, our everyday lives. Being sober, he is actually talking about the things, the pleasures of this world, the things of this world that we love so much, that we let them influence our mind or intoxicate us so that we no longer look to, love, or care about the Word of God. It's a real thing. The things of this world really are intoxicating. They are. They will cause us to put our time, our energy, our money, our concern, everything we have toward them. These things that they are nothing compared to the things of the kingdom of God. And they really don't matter like the things of God do. They're in a much, much lower category. They're earthy. They're of this earth. And you and I know that this earth is going to be burned up one day, and all those things with it. But this eternal spiritual life that God has freely given us, notice I said eternal spiritual life, it's not going to end there. We are going to continue to be forever. when God saved us, He saved us from the penalty of sin. Jesus Christ hung on the cross and paid that price. You couldn't pay it. I couldn't pay it. He paid it. And He paid it in full. When He saved you, you are saved eternally. When He does save you, if you're not saved yet this morning, it will be eternal and it will be immediate. That's the past tense of salvation. He's saving you today. He's saving you right now. He has saved you from the penalty of sin by sending His Son to die for you. He is saving you right now from the power of sin in your life. These things that intoxicate us against the things of God, the things of the world. As we grow, and we're going to be talking about spiritual growth this morning. Continual salvation. As we draw closer to Him, as He draws us closer to Him, we draw further and further away from ourselves and all the things of this world that do absolutely intoxicate us and pull us away from the Lord and following Him. And then the end of all things is at hand. Well, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of our salvation from the presence of this sin that's still within us. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. What are we watching for? We're watching for the Lord to come back, aren't we? We are. What a glorious day that's going to be. Verse 1 said, for as much sin as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. With the same mind. How do we arm ourselves with the same mind as the Lord? When the Lord saved you, He changed your mind. You had a particular mindset. You had a particular way of thinking about your life and the decisions you make in your life and what your life was worth or the legacy you were going to leave behind. Well, God changed that. When He saved you, He gave you a new heart, a new mind. And so we are to arm ourselves with the same mind. And what I'm talking about is perspective. You look at things differently now, don't you? You do. Now, you love the Lord. Where before, you didn't want anything to do with Him, and it was your nature. You inherited it. But now, you love Him. And how could you possibly love Him? Only because He loved you first. There's a connection, see? There's no access from man to God. The access came from God to man. And that access, even represented as Jacob's ladder in the Old Testament, it was Jesus Christ. He is the connection from God to man. And when He saves us, He gives us a new perspective. A new way of looking at things. But now, when we, on a daily basis, get involved in this world and allow the things of this world to intoxicate us, and that's what it does, it affects your mind, right? It affects the way you think, right? It affects the way you respond to things, right? It does. Just like physical intoxication. Well, certainly, we don't want to be intoxicated with the things of this world to the point that we don't respond correctly to the things that happen in our life on a daily basis. How do we respond correctly? Unless we're following this rule book that God has kept all these generations for us. That we would do what is right. You know that doing the right thing is always the right thing to do? Always. going by God's book, keeping our minds clear that we might learn more of Him. Paul teaches all through his letters that we are to put down the things of the flesh, the things that do change our mind, the things that do affect our responses to the Word of God and to life in general, to put those things down, empty our minds and our hearts of these things that it's desires of the flesh. But as we empty our minds and our hearts from these things, God fills us with Himself. He lives within you now. But as you draw closer to Him and seek Him in His Word, this is not works for salvation. This is obedience to God. And He has promised to bless us. If you love me and don't do what I say, He said, do you really love me? All the enticements of this world for a Christian, they cloud our minds. We can't think clearly. And we're to be mindful of the things of God, right? Yes. We need to be, we must be mindful of the things of God. But the enticements of this world will alter our mindset, will cloud our minds from the things that God has put us to do. We are to obey Him and to serve Him and one another in love. So we must protect our perspective, because it really can change. It can be polluted. We can be polluted. But praise God, He's coming back and He's going to save us from that. From that indwelling sin, it's going to be gone. Watch unto prayer. Turn with me to Matthew 26. Verse 37, Matthew 26 and 37. You remember this. The Lord is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then cometh Jesus, verse 36, with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. The Lord was contemplating His upcoming death, wasn't He? Then He said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And He saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour? What happened to Peter? The Lord says, verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. How do we keep from entering into temptation? How do we keep from entering into these things that pollute our minds, that change our perspective? The rest of that verse says, and this is God the Son speaking to us. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's the difference. There's the separation. Oh, that we would draw closer to each other and to the Lord in the love that He gave us. Because, yes, the spirit is willing, but we still have this sin in us and the flesh is weak. Verse Verse 8 says, and above, we're back to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That seems pretty important, doesn't it? Peter puts this in the category of above all things. That sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. The love of God has been and is shed in your heart. There is none to compare it to. The love of God is other type of love. It's greater than we can imagine. However, when we love the brethren, when we love each other, we are a reflection of that love of God that is in us to each other. It is so important. As Brother Tom was teaching this morning, the Lord has put you here. He's put you here for His purpose. He has designed us, fitly framed us together. Now we're talking about not these concrete walls, but the people, the souls in this church. He has fitly framed us together. He's the ultimate designer, the ultimate creator. He has put us here for His purpose. We are to love each other in a different way than we love anybody else. Not just a matter of respecting each other, but a true and warm love for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not talking about something fake or putting on airs when you're in the presence of Christians and being different later. I'm talking about a love that is already in your heart that God has given you. If you love the Lord, you love His sheep. Just the way it is. It's the way He designed us, the way He has made us to love each other, to care about each other. Matthew chapter 6. The Lord here in Matthew 6, He had been asked to show the church, the disciples, how to pray. And He gave them this model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And in verse 12, part of this prayer is, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, I don't believe that means that if we forgive our debtors, then He will forgive us of our sins. No, I believe it's a reflection of what He's done for us, that we are to live, carry out to each other. Just like He has given us this love for Him that we didn't have, certainly. But He has given us this life in Jesus Christ. And so, as we receive from Him, we are to give to each other. The love of Jesus, it passes all love you could ever imagine. And I believe it dwells within His people. It's here among us. Sometimes we might say, well, I love you in the Lord. But do we really realize what we're saying? If we do, that is a greater love than any other love that you've ever known. When we love each other in the Lord, we love each other with a love that forgives. As I think Brother Tom said this morning, if he didn't, he made me think it. No one has ever wronged me as much as I have wronged the God, the Creator of this universe. For I have sinned against Him. Oh, what a love. Fervent, sincere, strong, lasting love for each other. That is the type of love that Jesus Christ has shown to us and gifted us with, has given us. Look at Colossians chapter 3. In verse 12, Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We have been given this gift of life. And what a life. Spiritual life. The ability to love God. We are to reflect it to each other. Verse 14 says, and above all these things put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness, completeness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Be ye thankful that He has called you into this one body. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ, verse 16, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How gracious, how merciful has God been to you? It's overwhelming, isn't it? It is. Oh, how we need to love one another. It is so, so, so important. We are bonded together and fitly framed together by Him. Verse 17 says, and whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And back in our text, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Again, Brother Tom mentioned this morning about doing what we do cheerfully. It's a privilege. It's a wonderful privilege to be used of the Creator of the universe. A wonderful privilege. We should realize it, what He has done for us, and do for others freely. Freely we have received, freely we must give. I won't go into that, Brother Tom. I already covered it well this morning. Then the fourth thing. As every man hath received a gift, this is verse 10, 1 Peter 4, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That we would not receive this gift from God. We can go into the different gifts that different people receive. But my perspective, if you will, on this morning is the gift of life, the gift of salvation, this gift that He's given us. Do we hang on to it, as Brother Tom was talking this morning, and not share it? No, of course not. Of course not. Our calling, our purpose, we have received unmerited favor. Oh, that we would give of what God has given to us. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same, the gift, one to another. Oh, that we would share God's word with each other. It's the most important thing we can talk about. It really is. Anytime. And y'all know me, you know I love to talk about fishing. Or hunting or racing or the ball games. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the life that dwells within the Word of God. Again, it's life to us. It's spiritual food. It nourishes and strengthens us and causes that fitly framed together bond to be tighter and tighter and tighter. That's what is needed here today. A tight bond that we could be, would be, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are only stewards. As Brother Tom pointed out this morning, we're not our own. We were bought and paid for with a terrible price. We belong to Him. We are responsible for this gift that we've been given. We are responsible to give freely as we have received freely. It's our destiny. Romans 8 tells us that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. That's all it is. Being like Him. Being more like Him. Did He show love to His brethren? Did He ever? Did He show charity, love to all those that He was around? And to all of us? Yes. Is He giving? Yes. Yes, He is. So we, as we grow in Him, as we are developed in Him, as we go from when we first saved being babes to being mature in Him, it's a growth and it's a daily thing. And we must guard what He has given us. We must keep it in truth. And not allow our minds, our perspective to be clouded or changed. We must, a good steward, must be found faithful. Isn't that just like Jesus Christ? Is He faithful? Oh, is He ever? He is always faithful and all His promises are true. We can trust in Him. The way that He has been, is, and will ever be faithful to us. So are we to be faithful to the life, to Him and to the life that He has freely given us. Oh, that we would freely share it with others. It's our purpose. It's His purpose in calling us into so great a salvation that we share it and that others would come to know Him. What a God we serve. Oh, that we would look to Him in all things. And look to each other. And depend on each other. Because I'm telling you, outside in this world, we have enemies. We do. We talk a lot about the things going on in the world these days, and a lot of times we tend not to call it what it is. But what it is evil. We are battling evil in high places in this world today. But let us realize how blessed, how privileged we are to be in this place at this time, in this part of the world, where we're allowed to do what we're doing here this morning, to come together as children of God in His presence and in the presence of each other and worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's so important because it bonds us together. We do have each other. Praise God that He has brought you here and made you a part of His body, His church, His bride. Praise Him this morning.